From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian Deputy House Speaker ensures French President's remark. UN Human Rights Office raises concern over shrinking of democratic space in Tanzania. Now the news in details. Deputy Speaker of the House of Representatives DPR, Ahmad Basara, has criticized French President Emmanuel Macron over this defense of the rights to depict and publish cartoons of Prophet Muhammad, citing freedom of expression. Basara said in a statement in Jakarta on Tuesday, "The freedom of expression is a fundamental part of democracy, but it does not mean that every individual is free to do whatever he or she wants by violating other people's rights, including the one related to faith." Commenting on global news reports of Macron's controversial anti-Islam remarks, Basara also said, as a developed nation, France must be able to show interfaith tolerance towards all religious adherents, including Muslims inside and outside the country. Therefore, President Macron is advised to be wise in making statements so that they do not make Muslims inside and outside France feel offended. According to Basara, all states must participate in maintaining world peace. In the United Nations International Forum, member of Commission 7th of Indonesian House of Representatives, Diah Roro S.T. Widya Putri, explained the importance of new and renewable energy for the future. This energy is not only used as reserve energy, but as the main energy in the future. This was stated by the Millennial Legislator in a forum themed Shaping Our Future Together as a series of 75th UN anniversary, organized by the United Nations Economics and Social Commission for Asia and the Pacific UN Escape virtually. In her statement received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Tuesday, Diah Roro S.T. also explained the importance of implementing the Sustainable Development Goals SDG in Indonesia's energy sector and Indonesia's role in fighting the climate crisis. Diah Roro S.T. said Indonesia has a target portion of energy in the mixture of the national energy by 23% in 2025 and 31% in 2050. Several things can be done to reduce carbon emissions in the energy sector, one of which is by doing energy efficiency. Minister of Research and Technology Bambang Brojonegoro has said six research entities are currently developing Indonesia's indigenous vaccine against COVID-19, Merah Putih. Hence, several versions of the vaccine would eventually be released. Brojonegoro said during an online press conference held at the National Agency of Disaster Management BNPB building in Jakarta on Tuesday that they are now working on the vaccine in each manner, but they would have eventually resulted COVID-19 vaccine, and Indonesia will be facilitating the production. Brojonegoro has tasked the research institution as well as his ministry with developing the vaccine prototype. The vaccine's further development, including clinical trials and production, will be undertaken by the state-owned pharmacy company Bio Farma. Bio Farma plans to establish a consortium with Indonesia private-run companies to produce the Merah Putih vaccine at a higher capacity in the near future. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. The UN Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights is concerned about the situation over ensuring democratic freedoms in Tanzania in the wake of reported attacks against political opponents and journalists, the spokeswoman for the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Ravina Shamdasani, said on Tuesday. Shamdasani told a briefing in Geneva that the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights has been following with concern the shrinking of democratic space in the country, with worrying reports of intimidation, harassment, arbitrary arrest, and physical attacks against political opponents, journalists, women, human rights defenders, and other activists. The UN officials also called on all parties involved to ensure that the upcoming elections are held in a peaceful, inclusive, and participatory manner, with people being able to cast their votes free of fear and intimidation. Malaysia, the host of APEC this year, has announced the 2020 APEC Economic Leaders Meeting will take place online on November 20, 2020. This will be the first time economic leaders from APEC's 21 member economies will meet virtually, as noted in a written statement issued by the APEC Secretariat and received in Jakarta recently. APEC Secretariat Executive Director Tan Sri Datuk Rebecca Fatimah Stamaria said that APEC applaud Malaysia's commitment and leadership this year, despite the uncertainties and challenges brought by the pandemic. According to Rebecca, APEC officials are working hard, continuing engagement and collaborating digitally across 8 different time zones. APEC is looking forward for this first ever virtual leaders meeting and the importance and relevant deliverables that will be announced this November. At the meeting, APEC economic leaders are expected to produce a declaration reflecting Malaysia's theme of optimizing human potential towards a resilient future of shared prosperity, pivot, prioritize, and progress. Leaders are also expected to set a new vision, which will guide the forum's works in the next decade. The new vision will build on APEC's goal of free and open trade and investment, known as the Bogor Goals, whose deadlines is this year. Leadership in Belarus is concerned that the global economic crisis are exacerbated by increasing protectionism and sanctions, specifically from Western nations. First Deputy Foreign Minister Alexander Gurianov said on Tuesday. According to Gurianov, it is a matter of concern that the crisis in the world economy and trade are aggravated by the growth of protectionist measures, the presence of sanctions, barriers, and financial restrictions. First of all, Belarus sees this on the parts of Belarus' Western partners. This leads to the destruction of global value chain, destabilization of global financial markets. Speaking at the virtual forum centered around the integrations of the countries of the Russian Economic Union with China's Belt and Road Initiative, Gurianov also said that the Eurasian Economic Union member states have more resilient economies that are ready to withstand international challenges and are more open to creating competitive transporter markets, trade, and investment environments. Western countries have increasingly resorted to economic sanctions, placing restrictions on international trade to settle political disputes, which experts say have shown to cause damage and both economies and reap limited, if any, political results. Japan is looking into the use of ammonia as an alternative fuel as part of Tokyo's new goal to achieve zero carbon emission by 2050, the country's economy, trade, and industry ministry said on Tuesday. The announcement comes a day after Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga set the new target during his first keynote address to the country's parliament. Under the previous government plan announced back in 2018, Japan was expected to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 80% in the next 3 decades. Ryo Minami, the director of the ministry's Petroleum and Natural Gas Division, was quoted as saying by the Kyodo News Agency, with Japanese companies spreading efforts to utilize this new fuel, Japan can take the initiative in the world toward expanding its use. The industry ministry and Japanese companies have set up a relevant council to push for the production and supply of ammonia fuel. According to Minami, as cited by the media outlet, the council needs to come up with proper solution to ensure the new fuel supply in the future, considering that the energy sources are still vastly produced at coal-fired plants. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nika Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling U.S.-Russia Modern Armament Competition. The end of the United Nations arms embargo against Iran on October 18, 2020 is expected to bring about a new era of heavy arms competition between the United States and Russia. The absence of an embargo opens up opportunities for Iran to be able to buy and market weapons from and to the country. The United Nations has previously rejected U.S. proposals to extend the embargo on Iran. Iran's Ministry of Foreign Affairs declared Iran's independence in the field of defense shortly after the arms embargo ended. One possibility that will happen is Tehran will move closer to Moscow to cooperate in the field of advanced air defense. This is in line with the statement of the Russian Foreign Ministry through Levon Jagarian, Russia's ambassador to Iran. He told an Iranian newspaper that most likely his country would sell $400 air defense system to Iran. The Russian's ambassador remarks appeared to be a response to Washington's warning against taking steps that could cause new tensions. The Russian ambassador in Tehran firmly stated that Russia was not afraid of the threat of the United States. A number of mass media in Russia have written news about the sophistication of the country's S-400 air defense system. It is reported that the development has used a new generation digital processor, capable of detecting radar frequencies, as well as a sophisticated computerized system. It is even believed that the latest variant of the S-400 can destroy US-made fifth-generation stealth fighters and even B-2 bombers. The issue of the planned sale of this advanced air defense system to Iran suggests that Russia is likely to want to test the S-400 to Tehran's hands. In this perspective, the end of the UN arms embargo on Iran could trigger an escalation in competition for modern heavy weapons, especially weapons for airstrikes and defense between countries, in this case, the United States and Russia. However, the issue that Iran will realize the purchase of S-400 air defense weapons still needs proof. It seems that the Iranian government still has to take careful steps by considering the so-called Iranian Defense Doctrine. Based on this doctrine, decisions regarding defense matters are very dependent on the people. This includes preventing steps that are considered extravagance in buying weapons from abroad. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
وقو انتقال فيروس كوفيد-19 من خلال ارتداء الأقنعة بشكل صحيح. قناعي يحميكم وقناعكم يحميني.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。 我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
This is Today in History. We start from an event on October 28, 1924, when Law College of RHS was opened. Rexuja School de Batavia, or RHS, had been opened in Batavia on October 28, 1924. RHS was the first law college. In the early 20th century, the establishment of college in Dutch East Indies became heated debate among elite communities of the Dutch and leaders of Bumiputra. The fact showed that there was doubt on the side of the colonial government to establish a college in the Dutch East Indies. On March 8, 1910, the colonial government agreed to establish Indies Universiteit Vereniging. The association of the Dutch East Indies University in its statute mentioned the IUV with the goals to improve, to establish, and to manage the Dutch East Indies College. After July 3, 1920, Technische Hogeschool, the Bandung, or Technical College in Bandung, was opened so that the government of the Dutch Indies opened RHS. Next event is that in 1928, the Second Youth Congress was held. The termination of the Second Youth Congress, which was held on October 27 and 28, 1928 in Batavia, affirmed that the idea would create Tanah Air Indonesia, Bangsa Indonesia, and Bahasa Indonesia. In English means homeland Indonesia, nation of Indonesia, and Indonesian language. The determination is well known as Sumpah Pemuda, which means youth pledge. Even though the term did not appear in the Congress determination and it gave after the Congress. Sumpah Pemuda is the milestone in history of Indonesia's independence movement. The pledge is considered as a crystallization of the spirit to emphasize the ideals of the founding of the Indonesian state. Since 1959, October 28 has been decided as Youth Pledge Day by the Indonesian government through Presidential Decree No. 316-1959 on December 16, 1959. The last event is about Bill Gates. William Henry Bill Gates III, who was born on October 20, 1955, was businessman, investor, philanthropist, and writer from United States of America, and also former of CEO, who was at that time officiated as chief of Microsoft, software company established along with Paul Allen. Bill Gates was ranked permanently among the richest people in the world and ranked first from 1995 to 2009. In the last step of his career, he made some philanthropy efforts by donating some of finance to various organizations of charity and science research program through Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which was established in 2000. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Percaya bahwa cinta datang di pandangan pertama. Karena cinta butuh waktu yang kan biasakan suka berubah menjadi rasa yang tak tergambarkan. Kau lukis senyum di bibirku manis, menghapus semua dari melukis senyum di bibirku manis, menghapus
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today entitling Exim Explores Investment Funding in Indonesia. Export-Import Bank of the United States, Exim, is exploring potential funding of trade cooperation and investment in Indonesia, which is worth $750 million. The cooperation funding will be written in a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, to be signed soon. In a written statement in Jakarta on Sunday, the commitment to increase bilateral relations and economic cooperation between the U.S. and Indonesia was revealed in a meeting between Chairman and President of Exim, Kimberly A. Reed, with Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime and Investment, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, in Jakarta on Sunday. Reed, in her statement, said that the MOU will affirm the commitment of Exim towards various projects' potentials in Indonesia, starting from energy, wireless communication technology 4G+, or 5G, held until broadcast with support of goods and services from the USA. Reed added, Exim wants to establish cooperation to boost chances for investment and business development in Indonesia that was seen to give benefits for workers and business people from the U.S. and Indonesia. In the previous statement, Kimberly Reed said that Indonesia is the biggest economy in Southeast Asia and an important economic partner for the USA in Indo-Pacific. Meanwhile, Minister Luhut Panjaitan welcomed the proposed MOU and expected the U.S. investment increase in some infrastructure, energy, transportation, and telecommunication projects. The agreement was part of the U.S. delegation visit to Indonesia, Vietnam, and Myanmar, which was led by USDFC CEO Adam Bowler, as well as U.S. high official, namely Chairman of Exim and official from U.S. Department of Finance, Trade, Energy, and Foreign Affairs. Exim is an independent federal agency which promotes and supports U.S. employment by providing competitive export credit required to support U.S. goods and service sales to international buyers. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Menghempas diriku, mengganti cintaku. semua tak mampu hilangkan cinta yang telah kau beri. Walau kau berubah, aku kan bertahan di sepanjang waktuku. Biarkan aku mencintaimu dengan caraku. Cintaku semua tak mampu hilangkan cinta yang telah kau beri. Walau kau berubah, aku kan bertahan di sepanjang waktuku. Biarkan aku mencintaimu dengan cara.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Mount Tunak Natural Tourism Park. Stay tuned. Listener, the dilemma that is often faced by tourists is to choose the perfect tourism destination for vacation. The choice is between mountains and beaches. But are there any tourism destinations that cover both? Yes, there are. On Lombok Island, there is a destination called Mount Tunak Natural Tourism Park. This place is a complete package for both mountain and beach lovers. The location is located in Mertak Village, Pujut District, Central Lombok Regency, West Nusa Tenggara. Mount Tonak Natural Park is 1,200 hectares promontory jutting directly into the Indian Ocean, which has hilly plains and cliff islands around it. The promontory is flanked by Bumbang Bay in the west-north and Awang Bay in the east. At the first glance, Mount Tonak is similar to the 12 Apostles in Victoria, Australia. Although there are not 12 cliff islands in this area, this destination still has extraordinary beauty. To enter Mount Tonak Tourism Area, you will go through a number of protected forest areas which are inhabited by endangered species, such as footbirds, Timor deer, and many types of butterflies in the captive park. After passing through the forest area, you will find a hidden beach. Its name is Bilayasak Beach, which is a virgin beach with white sand directly facing the Indian Ocean. The seawater is dark blue, which looks very beautiful when the sky is clear with these clouds above it. This beach is also surrounded by circular limestone cliffs. From a distance, it looks golden. On top of the cliffs, there are garden hills that can be climbed, and from above, you can see the natural panorama of Mount Tonak, which has cliff islands lined up in the ocean. Every now and then, the big waves swept the cliffs, giving rise to the distinctive sounds of the ocean. At Mount Tonak area, there is also a 20-meter-high lighthouse. From the top of the lighthouse, you can see the entire area of Mount Tonak, which stretches without any obstructions. The blue sea, cliffs, beaches, hills, and sky. All these sights make anyone amazed by their beauty. Moreover, this tourism park is a quiet area, and not many tourists know about it. So, that anyone who comes will feel spoiled like being on a private island. The location of Mount Tonak is about 85 kilometers from Mataram City and takes about 2.5 hours by motorbike vehicle. The road condition is not extreme and has used asphalt to access these tourism sites. However, there is no public transportation yet. You can rent a car or preferably use a travel service from Mataram City with a price range of 300,000 rupiah. Mount Tonak opens every day from 7 a.m. to 1600 hours p.m. local time. The ticket price is about 5,000 rupiah for local tourists and 10,000 rupiah for foreign tourists. The facilities in this tour are very minimal because it is still under construction. There is only a parking area, protected forest, and butterfly breeding. There are no traders, food courts, or souvenir centers around the location. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Nuku Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa.
Ingin mengerti arti ucapmu. cari. Noda hitam dalam jiwaku, mungkinkah aku yang salah yang tak dapat membuatmu bahagia? Haruskah aku mengalah? Biarkan semua menjadi nyata. Saat hatiku bergetar keras, ingin mengerti arti ucapmu. Air mataku mencari noda hitam dalam jiwaku. Bahagia, haruskah aku mengalah? Membiarkan semua menjadi nyata.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is makanan khas, in English, typical food. Listen to this conversation about makanan khas, in English, typical food. Kevin stopped at a food stall that sells typical food of Labuan Bajo.
Permisi, saya mau pesan nasi kolo, jagung bose, dan ikan kuah asam.
Baik mas, apa Anda mau coba sambal teri?
Bagaimana rasanya?
Rasanya pedas dan asin, cocok dimakan dengan ikan kuah asam.
Kalau begitu, saya pesan sambal teri untuk satu porsi.
Ya, mohon tunggu sebentar.
Now I'm going to introduce the vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Pesan or memesan, which means to order. Coba, to try. Sambal, which means condiment. Bagaimana rasanya, which means how does it taste. Porsi, which means portion. Pedas, which means spicy or hot. Asin, which means salty. Asam, which means sour. Manis, which means sweet. Pahit, which means bitter. If you want to order food, you can use expression saya mau pesan in English, I want to order. If you want to ask about taste of the food, you can use interrogative sentence bagaimana rasanya or seperti apa rasanya. In English, how does it taste? For examples, permisi Bu, saya pesan satu porsi ikan kuah asam, which means excuse me, I want to order fish with sour soup. Baik, apa Anda mau coba sayur pare? Which means, okay, do you also want to taste salted bitter melon? Seperti apa rasanya? Which means, how does it taste? Rasanya sedikit pahit dan pedas. Which means, a little bit bitter and spicy. Kalau begitu, saya pesan satu porsi sayur pare. Which means, okay, I want to taste a portion of salted bitter melon. Ya, mohon tunggu sebentar. Which means, wait a moment. Well, listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Permisi, saya mau pesan nasi kolo, jagung bose, dan ikan kuah asam.
Baik mas, apa Anda mau coba sambal teri?
Bagaimana rasanya?
Rasanya pedas dan asin, cocok dimakan dengan ikan kuah asam.
Kalau begitu, saya pesan sambal teri untuk satu porsi.
Ya, mohon tunggu sebentar.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Satu yang kau rasa sedikit berbeda dari yang biasa. Menjadi satu tanda tanya, apa yang sedang terjadi kini?
benar kita.
Biarlah rasa ini benar-benar jadi nyata.
Tiada alasan untuk menahan
semua yang akan membawa kita ke sana.
Penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku o chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai o fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata o mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forco, de getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19-Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today, I would like to present a song from Betawi or Jakarta entitled Abang Pulang. The song Abang Pulang was popularized by the legendary Betawinese artist Benyamin Sueb with Ida Royani in the 1970s. This song was re-released with a slightly different arrangement, sung by a famous Indonesian actor, Reza Rahardian. This song became one of the soundtracks of the film Benyamin Biang Kerok, which was released in 2018. The witty song tells about a man who comes home and brings something. His lover is curious while the man doesn't tell what he is caring about. After getting his lover curious, finally the man shows the bag he brings. It turns out that he only brings worn shoes. Well, listener, here is the song Abang Pulang, sung by Benyamin Sueb and Ida Royani. Enjoy the song.
Abang pulang dari kota pulang kandang.
Abang bawa apaan?
Abang bawa bungkusan.
Bungkusannya apaan?
Beginian.
Apaan sih isinya bang?
Ntar aja lo lihat.
Buka dong aja lihat.
Lo lihat pasti melotot. Sayang, lo gak bisa bilang dah, terserah.
Abang bawa apaan?
Abang bawa bungkusan.
Bungkusannya apaan?
Begini ya.
Apaan sih isinya bang?
Ntar aja lo lihat.
Buka dong, ayo pengen lihat nih bang.
Lo lihat pasti melotot nih.
Sepatu butut.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Siapa sih yang kagak sayang anak? Apalagi saya anak semua.
All right, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.